All right, longer. Let's do it.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. My number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you're a pilot for American Airlines, you're probably counting the days until you are either going to have to leave the company or you're going to have to get vaccinated. And many of their pilots already are vaccinated, but American Airlines has announced that it will require employee vaccinations. That includes cabin crew, pilots, you know, anybody who works for the airline is going to have to be vaccinated. Here's how it's being reported by Yahoo. The trio of American Airlines, Alaska Airlines, and JetBlue are joining United Airlines in requiring employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19 as the Biden administration steps up pressure on major carriers to require the shots. The airlines provide special flights, cargo hauling, and other services for the government. The companies say that makes them government contractors who are covered by this new mandate that directs contractors with the federal government that they and their employees must be vaccinated. American CEO told employees late last Friday that the airline is still working on the details, but it's clear that the team members who choose to remain unvaccinated will not be able to work in American Airlines. That's the gist of it, the bottom line. The pilot union at American recently estimated that 4,200 or 30% of the airline's pilots are not vaccinated. I don't think American Airlines can afford to lose in one fell swoop 30% of their pilots, because that's what the pilots do, is they make the company run, because it's like American Airlines and the airlines need to be flying in order for American to make money. I'm just not so sure how easy that's going to be for American if they don't find a way through this, at least for the number who don't want to be vaccinated. Earlier, White House coronavirus advisor Jeffrey Zients talked to the CEOs of American, Delta, and Southwest about vaccine mandates. According to three people familiar with the situation, they spoke on condition of anonymity because the calls were private. Don't you love that, Cyrus, when somebody is, you know, well, I'm not supposed to tell you what happened because it was a private call. But here's what happened. You know, the off-the-record stuff.
This 30% number is baffling to me, because the people who actually, you know, get sick from COVID is less than that, isn't it? It's like a lot less.
It's, well, as I understand it, the number of people who contract it, it is quite low. I'm sorry, not contracted, but let's say get vaxxed, or hospitalized, etc.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's the word I was scrambling for, but couldn't quite put my brain on it. That's my impression. Yeah. So, I mean, they're talking here about a little over 4,000 pilots. So 30%, nearly a third of the very people who are absolutely necessary to make American Airlines do what it does might be out of a job. Or at the very least, they may not be qualified to fly if they're furloughed. And I don't know how American Airlines can do that. I mean, I know how they can do it. What I mean is, I don't know how they can sustain operations if they lose nearly a third of their pilots. That's the part I'm wondering about.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But, you know, I mean, people who want to read the rest of the story, all the data's in there, and, you know, it's a big company. It's the biggest airline in the world now because of all the mergers and acquisitions. But this, I have a feeling, is going to extend to the traveling public in the not-too-distant future, where we've been, you know, kicking this around for a while. It's not as though this is a new thing or that anyone should be surprised. We and others have been speculating about how far this might go. And it seems to me that if the pilots are required, those who don't want to be vaccinated, if they're required to do that or they forfeit their jobs, I don't think it's that big of a hop, skip, and a jump from there to saying to the traveling public, you know, get vaccinated or you can't fly. I think that's coming. I don't think it's that far away, honestly.
You've been warning us about this for a year and a half, and here it's on the front step.
I think you're right. I really do. And you know, I don't like to say I told you so, certainly not about something like this, but you know, for all the people who have been vaccinated, it's not an issue. They can go. But for those who for whatever reason have not yet done so, whether or not they have natural immunity from having had COVID, I guess at the moment, at least, that's beside the point. It seems to me like we're not that far away from it. So I wonder if, does Greyhound bus, does that line even exist anymore? I think they went to Trailways.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever ride a bus? Did you ever ride the Greyhounds?
I've got some long stories for another day, but I took a...
Another day when we're not on a microphone,
that's
right?
That, okay. Yeah, but I did 5 days to my first concert. It was in Nashville. I lived in Oregon. I took a Greyhound 5 days to Nashville.
Wow.
And
that could be your 5 days back. The title of your autobiography.
five days to Nashville.
Yeah, I want to book me for a conversation about that. I want to hear about that. Did you ever ride the rails? Were you ever a hobo?
No.
On the trains?
Nope. I know. I have that persona. You meet me and you're like, you rode those rails.
You
didn't
rode
you, buddy?
The rails.
Nope, not me.
What do they call it? I think the term is jungling. Isn't that what they call it?
I have never heard that before.
The hobos do that. They.
You got me, man.
They jungle. I read a lot. That's how I know these things. All right. Okay. Well. If you haven't done that, have you ever done this? Have you ever plunged 9 stories from a high-rise building and landed on a BMW and survived?
Oh, and survived?
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
No, I have never done that.
Not even once?
No. Did his parachute not deploy?
Well, here's what happened. If you ask this guy, he would be able to say yes. Listen to this story. A man plunged 9 stories from a high-rise building in Jersey City, New Jersey. I've seen the pictures. There is no possible way that this guy could have survived it, and he did. He landed on a BMW, a car. I think if he had landed on a BMW motorcycle, he would not have lived. But he landed on the roof of a BMW car. He survived. He crashed through the roof of the Beamer that was parked on the street below.
How far did he fall?
9 stories. It's like nearly 100 feet. Nearly 100 feet. Did you just... What was that? What did I just hear?
That was the Wilhelm scream that's in every Star Wars movie. Oh, you're okay. Welcome.
Thank you. I guess. He got up. He had a broken arm. So he falls 9 stories. He lands on the BMW. He smashes through the roof. He gets up, he walks away from the car with a broken arm, and he said, "What happened?"
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
What happened, he said.
What happened?
What happened? And then an onlooker,
hey,
Christina
what
Smith.
Happened?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much what he said. An onlooker, Christina Smith, 21 years old, she said, "I heard a big boom. I didn't think it was a person at first. The back window of the car just busted out. It exploded. The guy jumped up and started screaming. His arm was twisted."
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, I know. Can you imagine being that guy?
No.
I think I probably would have said what happened, not knowing, you know, is this heaven?
I think you and I would not have survived that crash.
I don't think so. So she calls 911. She took pictures. This is amazing. When you post the story for the people back home, they're going to be amazed at these pictures, including, you know, images of him screaming in pain. He had upper body injuries. He was rushed to the hospital. He survived thus far. I mean, who knows? Maybe he will die of his injuries. I hope he doesn't. But he survived thus far. He was in the hospital. He walked away from this accident. Amazing. Now, they don't know yet whether he, or at least it hasn't been said publicly, whether he jumped or fell or was pushed.
Or if alcohol was involved?
Possible. He could have tripped. Yeah, could have fallen. Are you sure this has never happened to you, Sarah?
I can't believe he survived this. The car is destroyed. It looks like a piano fell on it.
Right. It really does. All the windows are broken out and the hood is crushed. I mean, that's nearly 100 feet.
Yeah, I'll post this right now.
Yeah, the article says, I mean, something that people already know is that people who have plunged from even much lower heights have died or been killed or killed others in recent months, including a man who jumped from a parking garage in San Diego. He landed on a woman, killing them both. In November 2019, a 7-year-old boy survived a 9-story fall from his family's apartment, but he did die later from his injuries. So it's just an astonishing story in itself. Could you imagine if he does survive, and I hope he does, the stories you'll be able to tell, you know, when you're an old man. Remember that time, honey, when you fell 9 stories out of a building and crashed onto a BMW? Remember that time?
I don't, but I've seen pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine him not being able to remember it. Hey, back to the vaccine for a minute, because I don't really want to camp out on this, but it's a new story that I think would be worth people's attention, just given the fact that now people are being more and more scapegoated if they're not vaccinated. And, you know, whether you're like super gung-ho about vaccines, okay, fine. If you're not at all interested in vaccines, okay, fine. But does this seem fair to you? A Colorado woman found out that her hospital wouldn't approve her kidney transplant until she got the COVID-19 vaccine. She's an evangelical Protestant, so she has a religious belief, a religious, what's the word I'm looking for? Conscientious objection because of her faith against getting the vaccine. She has stage 5 kidney disease. That means that she's at risk of dying without a new kidney. The lady's name is Leilani Lutali, 56 years old, and she was scheduled to have the kidney transplant, but they said, you're not vaccinated yet, so you can't have the kidney transplant. She said, as a Christian, I can't support anything that has to do with abortion of babies, and the sanctity of life for me is precious. The UC health system that she was scheduled to have the transplant from requires transplant recipients to be vaccinated because recipients are at risk of contracting COVID-19 as well as being hospitalized and dying from the virus. This according to a spokesman for the health system. He says unvaccinated donors could also pass COVID-19 to the recipient even if they initially test negative for the disease. Studies have found transplant patients who contract COVID-19 may have a mortality rate of 20% or higher. It's not clear how common this type of a policy is. The American Hospital Association, which represents nearly 5,000 hospitals and healthcare systems and networks in the United States, said it did not have data to share on this issue. I don't know whether that means we don't have the data or we don't have data to share. It's like, Cyrus, have you ever walked into a place of business and you have an emergency and you say, can I use your restroom? And they say, we don't have one. That doesn't mean they don't have one. That means they don't have one for you.
Right.
You know, that's a way of saying, yeah, we do, but you can't, you know, no, we don't have one. Well, where do you guys go? Well, we've got one, but we don't have one for you. So, you know, I do see both sides of this issue. I do, on the one hand, I can see it through the lens of, is this woman needlessly being put in further jeopardy? Because she's not vaccinated and doesn't intend to get vaccinated, and therefore she may die as a result of her condition. I guess she will die regardless if she doesn't get a new kidney. So I can understand that, and I can understand how it is. It has the appearance of being unjust, because, you know, since when did? I mean, I always thought that universal health care was a basic human right. That's what I keep hearing from people on the left all the time, and I'm not opposed to that ideology, but I mean, it's certainly convenient for them to say that when it's convenient for them to say that, you know, healthcare is a universal human right. Everybody gets it regardless, except if you're not vaccinated.
That's the only place where the hypocrisy pops up, right?
And I have a feeling there are other places where the hypocrisy, I can't even say the word.
What happened to the Hippocratic Oath?
Well, you know, the Hippocratic Oath, among other things, it is the altruistic promise on the part of the physician to do everything to help the patient. So this would
seem to me... As long as the patient has... I just don't understand. You have someone sick and you can help them. You help them. That's it.
If you disobey the rules, you get cut off, Cyrus. Mm-hmm. How many times do we need to know this?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the new rule. And if you disobey the rule, you get cut off. Or so I've heard.
So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
All right, we'll see. The best time, the article says, to get a COVID-19 vaccine is before an organ transplant. If time allows, patients should get their second dose of the available vaccines at least a couple of weeks prior to the transplant so that your body has a good immune response to the vaccine, says Dr. Dipali Kumar, the American Society of Transplantation's president-elect and an infectious disease physician. Now, here's how I can see the other side of this situation, Cyrus. I would imagine that a kidney transplant, I mean, how much would that cost? I'm assuming many hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, I mean, maybe it's more than that, but it's a very expensive procedure. And I could imagine the bean counters and, you know, the people who are dealing with this kind of thing saying, well, if the survival rate, if you don't have this vaccination and you might get COVID, and if this happened and that happened, then you would die and all that money would be wasted, and a healthy kidney that could be used for somebody else, maybe who's vaccinated, they wouldn't get that kidney because you got it, but you died because you didn't have the vaccine. I mean, I can see how somebody on that side would put two and two together and just say, no, it's just too big of a risk. And there's a lot of money on the table, and maybe that's all they're looking at. But, you know, why go to all the trouble and expense to perform a transplant that is possibly, it's just going to go south in any case. So why bother doing that? I mean, that to me seems very, overly practical. But I could understand how somebody might come to that conclusion. I wouldn't necessarily agree with it, though. Many major religious denominations have no objections to the COVID-19 vaccines. And of course, we've gone over that territory many times over the last year and a half. But this woman basically is in limbo right now, Leilani Lutali. And it says she will die without a transplant. So we'll see what happens. And we'll see, you know, it'd be interesting to see, Cyrus, and hopefully not tragically interesting to see, whether or not she winds up dying because she refused to get a vaccine. That would be the worst possible outcome, if you ask me. 888-914-9149. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. Plenty more to talk about, including your phone calls. We have some lines open. That won't last long, though. Give me a call at 888-914-9149. I'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Real-life solutions you can believe in. Yeah! The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Yeah!
California, we're going to South Dakota, and Texas, and New York, and Texas, and New York.
Ah! Hit it, Cyrus, hit it. That's right.
Ah! And Oregon, and Washington, and Oregon, and Washington. We're going to South Dakota, we're going to South Dakota, and Michigan.
Ah! This is the perfect vibe for the Patrick Madrid Show.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
I like that siren. That's the best part of the song, Siren, other than your harmonica playing. The best part of the song.
I just love how much you love it.
I do. I'm so easily amused. That and that taco song, I can laugh endlessly. Hey, on a serious note, though, a good serious note, though, tomorrow I'd like you to join us here at Relevant Radio for an 11 a.m. Central Mass. Honoring the apparition of Our Lady at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help in Wisconsin. I've been there many times. It is quite a place, and the Mass will be celebrated there tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. That will take the place of our normal noon Mass, noon Central, that is. So this will be the anniversary of the apparition. This Mass each year commemorates Our Lady's apparition there in October of 1859, where she identified herself as the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners. Bishop David Ricken, the Bishop of Green Bay, will be the celebrant. And if you normally watch or listen to the Mass at noon Central at Relevant Radio, just please make a note that tomorrow, Saturday, that will not take place in favor of this Mass at 11 a.m. Central. And you can listen on your local Relevant Radio station, or you can watch it online at relevantradio.com, or you can listen through the Relevant Radio app. You may even be able to watch it there too, Cyrus. I'm trying to think. Is the video available through the app? Do you know for sure?
Oh, I
find out.
You know,
find
yeah, I know they have it up on their Facebook. I'll find out.
We, because we're part of Relevant Radio, so it's not they, it's we.
Thank you.
inclusive, right? Inclusivity. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Chicago now and talk to Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Hello. So my comment was, you're talking about the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah.
And organ transplant, right? And the hospitals that wouldn't do the transplant because the person wasn't vaccinated.
Right. Okay.
But wouldn't part of the Hippocratic Oath be that if I do this transplant without the person being safe or vaccinated from a virus that could kill them later, you know, or they contract the virus during the transplant?
It's hard to hear you because I don't know how close your mouth is to the phone, but if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like you're saying that from the standpoint of the physicians or the hospital, that it makes sense to not do the transplant if she won't get vaccinated. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, because the because she could die from the virus later.
Right, but she could also get hit by a bus later, too. She could also fall downstairs and break her neck and die, too. I mean, there are any number of ways of dying that are not necessarily tied to the transplant.
Well, would it be possible for her to, I guess, contract the virus during the operation?
I think so. I mean, this is the funny thing, isn't it? That all along, the message was that if you get vaccinated, you're going to be fine. But now that the people who are vaccinated right. are still getting COVID and giving COVID, then the question is, well, then what's the point of the vaccine? That's a question people are asking. I mean, whether we agree with them or not, they're asking this question. What's the point of it? Even if everybody gets it and you can still get COVID and still pass on COVID, then why all the hype for this vaccine? Now, I don't know if that's part of her reason for resisting it. I don't know. She just said that it's a religious conviction. But, you know, maybe to answer your question, if all the doctors and nurses who are in the operating room have been vaccinated, and yet, as we know, they can still get it and give it, then I guess the answer to your question would be yes, she could get it, I suppose, if one of them if she contracted it from one of those vaccinated people in the operating room. I suppose that's possible. How likely it is, though, I don't know.
Okay, so do you know, like, with people that have been vaccinated, mm-hmm. do you know if they're contracting it in higher, lower numbers or much lower numbers? Or
what I'm hearing...
I mean, because there's...
Uh-huh. What I'm hearing and seeing, basically it's not so much hearing, but what I'm reading in as much of the literature as I can follow, and you know, from mainstream and left-leaning sources as well, CNN and other sources, my understanding is that, yes, in fairly significant numbers, people who have been vaccinated are getting COVID and are contagious, whether or not they're asymptomatic. But what that number is, I don't have that at my fingertips, so I don't know how big the percentage is. Anyway, Scott, I hope that's helpful to you. Let's go to Andrew now. Thanks for the call, Scott. Let's go to Andrew in San Diego. Hello, Andrew.
Hi. Good morning, Scott. Good morning, not Scott. Patrick. Hi. Yes. So you guys were talking about helping people if you can.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. And one of the things I wanted to ask was, do you support a Medicare for all kind of system? A single-payer system where we all pay into one insurance program and everyone gets care without having to pay for it right on the point of service?
Well, I don't support necessarily that model of it. I do support the idea of everybody getting health care, and if it can be subsidized or even made free and still remain quality health care, then yeah. I mean, why wouldn't somebody support that? If it's affordable and doable, I can't imagine anybody saying no to it. But I personally am not in favor of the government saying, okay, this is your healthcare company, whether you like it or not, and everybody's going to be in this one system. I like the ability for people to have their own choice of who their doctor will be, or their own choice of what hospital they'll go to, or their own choice of maybe going, say, with Solidarity HealthShare, a friend of the network, because they don't fund abortions and they won't fund other things that the Catholic Church says are immoral. I would strongly advocate that people have their freedom. You know, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, kind of thing. Where have I heard that before? So although I do see this type of universally available and affordable or even free healthcare as a good thing, I don't want it to come at the cost of people not having any choices in the matter as to where and how they'll get that healthcare. Does that clarify?
Totally agree. Choice is incredibly important because there's so much medicine that is just your food. So you're choosing what food to eat, and that's part of your health regimen. And yeah, the exercise you do every day, you got to move, and that's very important. And just having free health care doesn't mean that you're going to do those things. So
that's true.
We have to take a holistic view of it, and part of the system, the most successful international systems is the fact that they teach people about those basic things, nutrition, exercise, and they really enforce those ideas and encourage them to focus on that more than taking pills, more than relying on only seeing the doctor once every year and not understanding why they're feeling bad all the time.
I agree.
Being able to check up on themselves.
Yeah, in other words, you mitigate the need for medical care and pharmaceuticals if you're proactively taking care of your health by diet and exercise. That's certainly true. And we could greatly reduce the amount of people who need drugs and procedures and things if they were more proactive in exercise and diet. That's all true. And I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So okay, bottom line, what's your point about this issue, Andrew? Do you agree or disagree? I guess you said you did agree, right? With having medical care available for everybody if possible.
Yes, I'm done.
Yeah. Good. Well, when you run for president, let me know, and maybe we will have a conversation about that. Let's go now to Salt Lake City. Thank you, Andrew. Let's go to Aiden in Salt Lake City. Hi, Aiden.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Okay. My question is a scriptural one. Okay. On the Apostles' Creed, where it says, world without end, amen. Mm-hmm. And then Revelation is talking about Armageddon and talking about the end days and things of that nature. Maybe, yeah. I'm sure I'm not the only one discussing that. Can you shed some light on that for us?
It's hard to hear you. I don't know why, but are you speaking up close to the phone?
How's that?
That's better. So the question you asked me was, if I heard you right, was the phrase world without end. And then you said something about the book of Revelation, but that's the part I couldn't hear very well. What was that?
In the book of Revelation, where it talks about the end of the world.
Yeah.
How does that tie together?
Okay. So the phrase in English, world without end, amen, is the English version of a Latin phrase, which is per omnia saecula saeculorum, amen. Now, it more literally means forever and ever. That'd be probably the easiest way to render that into Latin. Another way is world without end, amen. So that's a looser, more paraphrastic way of translating that phrase, per omnia saecula saeculorum. So it doesn't really mean world without end in the sense that this world will never end. This world will end, and we're told more than once that this world and all the elements of the cosmos will be dissolved with fire. And at the same time, we're also told that there will be a new heavens and a new earth. So when these earthly realities are dissolved by fire, as the Bible says, it will be resurrected to, you know, so to speak, in the form of the new heavens and the new earth. And we see a merger between the two at the end of the book of Revelation, where the new heavens and the new earth merge together. My reading of that, Aiden, is that right now we live in the world as, you know, creatures, you and I, of two types. So you have the spiritual component and you have the bodily component, and the two go together. In other words, to be human, you are both body and soul. And yet at the end of the world, what the supernatural realm that we can't see right now, because we see and touch and taste things that are physical, that's how we know the world around us, but we don't have the ability to see that world, which is all around us. We just can't see it. My read on the end of the book of Revelation, where it talks about the new heavens and the new earth, is that everything is merged now. So we will no longer be in a separate realm, or what seems to us as separate. We will be both physical and supernatural, natural and supernatural together. And in that case, that's what this prayer is referring to. Per omnia saecula saeculorum. It means that once this merger has taken place, that's how it's going to be forever and ever. Amen. That's what this is really talking about. Does that make more sense to you?
Oh, that does. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad we could cover it. Let's go to Peter now. And thank you, Aiden. Let's go to Peter in Boston. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a longtime listener and first time caller.
Okay.
And firstly, I would like to thank you for your show and the relevant radio. You guys give me so much hope, you know, to get up every single morning and keep trying to be a better Catholic.
That makes me happy to hear that, Peter. Thank you.
And so my question is, I got engaged this year, and my fiance and I were planning on having our wedding next year in May.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we are, my question is in regards to the wedding attire for the groom and bride. As far as I'm aware, the veil for the woman is a sign of purity. And since we're both are not virgins, I would like to know what your thoughts are on that.
Right. It has an even deeper meaning than purity, and that's virginity. So it symbolizes the virginal character of the woman who's getting married. Now, there are those who would say, nope, that's not appropriate for her to wear a veil, because strictly speaking, if she's not a virgin, then that would be, you know, untrue, or it would be saying something that's not really true. I don't approach it that way. For one thing, if she doesn't wear a veil, then people are going to say, why isn't she wearing a veil? Because that's traditional. Not that she has to wear a veil. She could go with or without a veil. But because it's customary, there will be people who are saying, why isn't she wearing a veil? Which opens her up to, you know, inopportune questions. And she has no need, she has no obligation to tell anybody about her past in that regard. So I would say, even just on that one point, for her to wear a veil would be a good thing, because then it eliminates the possibility of people snooping and wondering. The second reason is that if she has made this commitment to you and the two of you are living chastely and she, you know, whatever may have happened before, if she's right with God and has gone to confession, even though physically speaking, and also from a moral standpoint too, she's not a virgin technically, she can still have the attitude of virginity. She can have the attitude and the desire for chastity and purity. And those things are also symbolized by the veil. So the veil doesn't simply mean the physical, you are a virgin or you're not a virgin. It does include that, but it's much more than that. So personally, if you're asking my opinion, I would say wholeheartedly, sure, she should wear a white dress and she should wear a veil, assuming the things that I just mentioned a moment ago are in place. And it sounds like they probably are, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. So thank you for answering that for me and for us. We definitely want to do what is right and follow the church's teachings on when it comes to that.
Yeah, and there is no church teaching on this issue. It's purely custom. Please understand that. There's no church law that says the bride must wear white or the bride must wear a veil or the groom must wear a black tuxedo or you have to have this kind of cake. I mean, there are no church rules that govern those things. It's custom.
I see. And one more question when it comes to the mass itself. I started going to Latin mass and I don't do it regularly, but I'm really drawn to the reverence of it. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely going to have the mass said, probably the, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the Novus Ordo, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Novus Ordo.
But at the same time, Novus Ordo, thank you. But at the same time, I'm wondering if we would like to have the mass said in Latin. And
yeah, you can do, I've got to take a break, Peter. Yes, you can certainly do that. As long as you find an authorized Latin mass available, you can certainly do that. Congratulations, Peter. May God grant you both many happy years. I'll be right back.
Hello.
Hi,
good morning, Patrick.
It sounds like you're on a speakerphone. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Just everybody, please, no speakerphones, no Bluetooth. It becomes difficult to hear. We have to mainline on this program so that everything sounds good. One more time, no speakerphones,
no
Bluetooth. Let me ask you, can the Catholic Church have a future if we Catholics don't understand our past? Experience history the way it should be taught in a new free online class from Christendom College. Just go to principlesclasses.com/Madrid.
At the intersection of faith and culture, the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Get connected to the conversation. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
I'm just liking this vibe, Cyrus.
Yeah, this is top five bumpers for me.
It just feels very 1975 to me. And I remember 1975. All right, Portland, just for a moment, two stories out of Portland. Portland officials are attempting to solve a spike in the city's gun violence with traffic barrels instead of police, according to the Portland Tribune. City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty ordered the Portland Bureau of Transportation, the PBOT, to install the barrels across a six-block area in the Mount Scott-Arleta neighborhood, which has seen an uptick in shootings, some of which have been perpetrated by high-speed drivers. "I'm directing PBOT," she said, "to be more active and engaged in holistic solutions to this community safety that can supplement police and other bureaus' roles in this effort." Workers have installed eight traffic barrels near Southeast Woodstock Street and 72nd Avenue. And they're adding another 18 barrels next week. You're saying, why are they adding barrels? Well, according to PBOT, Portland officials have been placing hundreds of local access-only barriers as part of their Slow Streets program, designed to create more road space for cyclists and pedestrians. In August, Hardesty approved PBOT spending $250,000 to replace the temporary signs with concrete barriers. Many ridiculed the move for the city, which is experiencing skyrocketing homicides since the police were defunded. Shootings have skyrocketed in the city after Hardesty abolished the police gun violence reduction team last year. She has a history of anti-police radicalism. Most recently, Hardesty, an anti-police activist, tried to get a contracted city worker fired for displaying a thin blue line flag decal on his truck. Okay. So instead of doing what like a normal person would do and saying, why don't we just have really well-equipped, well-trained, good men and women on our police force? And that's when the crime rates were much lower when they had that. Instead, we're going to use plastic barrels. Does that make sense to you, Cyrus? Plastic barrels instead of like a well-trained, well-equipped police force?
You got to put those plastic barrels somewhere.
Well, I guess so, but still.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, if somebody's coming into your house at night, in the middle of the night, through a window with a knife in his hand.
Oh, I'm using a plastic barrel.
You're using a plastic barrel. I mean, who would?
Every time.
All they need to do is put 18 plastic barrels. He wouldn't even be able to get to your house.
Oh,
he couldn't get
really
to the window.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like
Always
that.
Thinking. Okay, so the same lady, the same Hardesty lady.
Practical solutions.
Hope and encouragement and practical solutions on the Patrick Madrid Show. We have to expand our tagline. And maybe that could be the logo for the show, a big orange barrel. A big orange traffic barrel. With a mustache on it.
I like it.
So here's the same Hardesty lady, Joanne Hardesty. Okay, same lady, same crazy stuff going on in Portland. She called the cops over an argument with her Lyft driver. Because despite her support for defund the police, because she said she acted out of fear of white supremacists. So she had a spat with the Lyft driver. So she's the lady who wants all the police basically defunded, and she's largely done that. So who does she call when she has a disagreement with the Lyft driver? She calls the police. She calls 911. And she defended it by saying she was acting out of fear of white supremacists. She's the city commissioner. This is, going back months and months, but it's the same lady. So this sort of ties into the fact that she's the one who's behind the traffic barrels. She caught flack for the move in light of her claiming that most 911 calls aren't for real crimes, she said, and she proved her point, I guess. She said that during a city council meeting. But she said in her case, it was justified because, well, here are her own words. She says, this is another example of being black in America and being put in a position where I have to be the one to look out for my personal safety. Well, of course you are, because there are no police anymore. She said, I didn't expect the Lyft driver to do it, certainly didn't expect the police to do it. It was my responsibility to make sure I got home safe. When you're living in a city where white supremacists are proudly riding around in their big trucks with their flags and you're a black person and somebody wants to put you on the side of the road at night, not going to happen. That was the disagreement, is that apparently, well, here's how it's described. The Lyft driver, he tried to leave her at a gas station to wait for another driver to come, but she refused to get out of the car until the replacement ride got there. So the Lyft driver didn't want her business anymore. She didn't get out of the car. And I could understand if you're in a bad part of town and it's late at night, you know, you don't want to get out of a car and stand around at a gas station at midnight. I wouldn't want to do that either. But the police eventually arrived, the ones who were not defunded anyway. And another Lyft driver did show up. No charges were filed against either party. Hardesty, who also oversees Portland's emergency dispatch system, has repeatedly campaigned to slash the police budget in Portland as the city has been overwhelmed by violent clashes between far left and far right. But they do have the plastic barrels, though, so all is well. Happy ending, and especially so for the manufacturer of those plastic barrels.
Why didn't she just hide behind the barrel?
Well, I mean, these are like deep questions, Cyrus.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to ask her. I don't know what she would say, but you would think that that would be one of her options. Just get behind the barrels.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I mean, it works for all the other things, doesn't it?
I think so. I just tweeted. Okay. I want to know what else can barrels save us from. So let me know.
Well, if you ever go over Niagara Falls, probably better to be in a barrel than not in a barrel.
I don't think it's going to matter.
Probably not. Let's go to Janine in Augusta, Georgia. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning. I just wanted to add to the conversation about the lady who's trying to have a kidney transplant in Colorado.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The case was being discussed on a national talk show that I listened to in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference with this lady is she has a living donor who's willing to donate a kidney to her.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing to throw in the mix is the fact that she's not on the list, you know, where you wait and you have to for somebody to pass and then you
right.
get the cadaver kidney. So, I mean, she's got somebody who's willing, but the person who's willing to give the kidney is also not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Do you know by listening to that program whether or not either or both of these two people, the donor and the recipient, have had COVID? Do they have natural immunity or has that not been made known?
They didn't discuss that. They didn't say whether they'd had it. It was just the fact that she's not the recipient is not depending on the list, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. that most of us would have to depend on. She has arrangements. She has a living donor. So the point of argument that they were, you know, was that why shouldn't she be able to go ahead if she's got a donor who's willing to give the kidney to her? Why shouldn't they be able to go ahead with the procedure? But the whole thing is surrounded around the vaccination status.
Right. That's why I would like, and I didn't know that, Janine, so thank you for pointing that out. What I'm saying, when I say right, what I mean is I'm agreeing with your point. What I'd like to know, and maybe we will never know, but it would be interesting to know whether either or both of these people have natural immunity, because that would add another layer of reality here. If the woman who's ill has natural immunity because she had COVID, and if the donor, even better, has natural immunity because he or she has COVID, had COVID, I would think, all other things being equal, that that would make it an even safer thing for the two of them.
Right.
You know, but
right.
I'm not a doctor, so I'd have to leave it up to them to
right.
tell me.
So the thing is that they were talking about on as they went further into the discussion was that she's probably going to look for another healthcare system to see if someone will go through with the procedure for her.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're dying of kidney disease and you only have a certain amount of time to live, and you can get a transplant, and the healthcare system says, sorry, you're not vaccinated, I could easily see why she would look elsewhere. Hey, Janine, thank you. I appreciate it. Let's go now to Steve in Decatur, Illinois. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning. A very simple question. Yesterday, you had a really interesting discussion with a gentleman who's an evangelical, yes, who was concerned about how complicated the Catholic Church is with all the rules and so forth.
Right.
And you mentioned that you were going to send him a book that you thought would be helpful.
Uh-oh. Did you lose him? Did we lose him? He's not there.
He's gone. Steve.
Steve, your phone dropped.
Steve,
I'm so
Areno.
Sorry. Making copies. The Steve Meister. Hey, call me back, Steve. And looks like he may be calling back.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me check.
Yeah, let's see if that's him. In the meantime, let me go to... Oh, there he is. Okay, you're back, Steve. You cut out
back
for a minute. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know where I left off, but yesterday you were talking with an evangelical gentleman who was concerned about how complicated the Catholic Church was with all its rules and so forth, and you'd mentioned that you were going to send him a book, but I don't think you said what book that was, and I found that interesting. I'd love to look that up myself if that's possible.
Yeah, well, I'm torn because I intentionally didn't mention the name of the book. I just wanted to make it a surprise for him. So, yes, I am sending him the book.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I intentionally didn't say it, but because you're asking, I will say it, because what the heck, right? The book in question is called Surprised by Truth, and it is a compendium of 11 conversion testimonies of people. And essentially, it's a book that would be helpful because it sounds like some of the issues he has with the Catholic Church are some of the same issues that these people had with the Catholic Church. So they explain their process of understanding those issues in their own words. And I found it's more powerful if somebody tells you in his own words, his own reasons, as opposed to me trying to translate that. So that was
That
was the book.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. Right. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Let's go now. No, we don't have time. Okay, so a man's got to know his limitations. I've heard that so many times.
Man's got to know his limitations.
It's almost like it's ingrained in my memory. So we're going to take a time out. While we're waiting for the music to start, I just want to remind you that you can be one of the lucky 200 people, to win a free nativity set. It's not life-sized. It's large, though, and it's an outdoor, beautiful, very noteworthy nativity set valued at $500, and 200 lucky listeners are going to get these absolutely free, no strings attached. They don't even pay shipping or anything. It's absolutely free, and all you have to do to enter into the sweepstakes, I don't know if that's a technically correct term, but to be eligible, let's put it that way, go to relevantradio.com/nativity. And there you will find the place where you pop in your name and all that information. And that is, when does that expire? So it's the 15th?
But don't wait. Do it. Just go do it now.
Oh, yeah. Do it now because you'll forget. I mean, I always forget stuff like that. And then when it's too late, you're not going to be eligible. So, yeah, go to relevantradio.com/nativity and enter your name and information. And then sometime after October the 15th, it will be announced who the lucky 200 listeners are who will get a free nativity set. It's large. It's not life-size, but it's large. And it's valued at $500. Get yours right now. Get that in your spirit. I'll be right back.